You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Well, the leaves are changing color, the sun is setting earlier, and the weather's getting colder. And to most of us, one of the best parts of fall is the disappearance of pesky summer bugs like mosquitoes.
While many insects die off in the winter, many types of spiders in Wisconsin don't die. The spiders have ways to survive the frigid weather. And I got to say, our producer, Amanda Magnus, fascinated by the spiders of Wisconsin.
Fascinated slash obsessed.
We would have a weekly spider segment, I think, if we left it up to her. But we'll do the next best thing and talk about spiders in the winter now.
Mike Draney is here right now to tell us how spiders do it, what they do in the winter. He's a professor of biology and chair of the Department of Natural and Applied Sciences at UW Green Bay. Mike, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, Robin, Veronica.
So this is kind of a mystery. It seems like other bugs over the winter months, they die. What happens to spiders?
Well, you know, the insects don't really die either, right? I mean, none of our insects except for the monarch actually leave Wisconsin. They're all here all the time. But, of course, a lot of insects survive the winter as eggs, and so they're basically gone. But spider eggs don't seem to have the ability to do that. So if it gets too cold, the spider eggs would just freeze, and then when they thaw, they just turn to mush. So almost basically all of our spiders, you know, survive somehow as a spider through the winter. It's pretty amazing when you think that most of Earth's organisms cannot survive a Wisconsin winter. So they have to have special adaptations.
So what are some of the different tactics that spiders use since they can't do what a lot of insects do and just let their eggs propagate them through the winter? What do they do to stick around?
Yeah, so first of all, a lot of spiders do lay eggs in the, you know, make their eggs in the fall. But people think that they lay around in the egg sac until the spring and then they hatch. But actually, the eggs immediately embryonate and the little baby spiderlings hang out in the egg sac through the winter. But all of the spiders, the immatures and the adults, they have to undergo a process of cold hardening. So nights like this, when it gets cold but it doesn't freeze, it sort of tells their body to start producing actually antifreeze compounds. they're very similar to the kind we put in our car, and they build these up in their tissues, and it lowers the temperature at which they freeze. And then they just behaviorally know they have to go to places that are sheltered so that it never gets too cold and they won't freeze. So they'll go into leaf litter or into cracks of bark. Or interestingly, a lot of spiders hang out in the space between snow and the ground, what's called the subnivian space. And it never gets much below freezing there, even though it might be minus 20, you know, above where we are. And so they actually survive the winter just hanging out there. They don't really care about the cold weather because they are always the same temperature as the environment, and they're pretty comfortable being cold. They just move a little slower, but they don't need as much food. But it's very important that they not freeze.
Wow, so you're almost making it sound like spiders have these superpowers. They have their own antifreeze, and they can just, you know, become winterized over the winter?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. They can survive much lower temperatures in the winter than they ever can in the summer. If you suddenly exposed them to cold temperature in the summer, they would be just like us. They would just get cold shock and die, but they have to get cold hardened.
Now, we humans have built a lot of environments, our houses, that could keep spiders warm through the winter. Are there ones that like to move inside with us?
Yeah, and that's the really important exception to the spiders that are, you know, have all these superpowers. There are certain species, a few species, that just live in our houses, and we moved them on accident from places farther south, and they cannot survive in Wisconsin except in the house. And so they're really just like us. They don't have any superpowers. They just hang out in your basement.
Which ones are those? Which ones are the non-superpower ones?
Well, the one that people are probably most familiar with are what is called a cellar spider. And so it's really long-legged, and it lives in a messy web kind of upside down. And those are from caves in the Middle East originally, and they've just been moved all around the world. And they're even pretty far up into Canada now, but they only live in people's houses.
Talking to Mike Draney about the spiders of Wisconsin and what they do in the winter. He's with UW Green Bay at our Green Bay studio right now. Mike, I want to pause for a moment. And all this talk of spiders in our houses and spider egg sacs, people are maybe feeling a little icked out right now. Do you want to make a case that they shouldn't be? We should show a little love to the spiders?
Oh, absolutely. You know, they're an important part of our biodiversity. They're natural, native species. And they're really our friends because they're predators of insects mostly. So they're actually controlling numbers of a lot of other insects that might actually be pests to us. So if you allow one spider to live in your basement, in order to become an adult, it has to eat maybe 40 insects. And so that's 40 insects less that you'll have in total in your house. And the other thing I'll say is that spiders do not bite people very often. Most Wisconsin spiders actually can't bite people because they're too small. Spiders smaller than about a quarter of an inch really can't break human skin. And of the ones that can bite you, none of them attack you. They're only going to bite you if you are holding them in your hand or pressing against them. And of those, very few of them are poisonous. Really, the only one we have around here is the northern black widow, which I have found very few of. I've not actually collected one myself in Wisconsin yet, although people have brought them to me. So the chance that anyone's going to get bitten, I've not heard of anyone that's ever been bitten by a black widow.
And I know there are some spiders that pop up more in the spring, and you told us about a few of them before the show, and they all have these super interesting names. Wolf spider, jumping spider. Mm-hmm. The last one worries me a little bit, running spiders. Can you tell us about those three spiders?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, some spiders actually overwinter as immatures, and then right when it becomes spring, they turn into adults, and then they mate and have babies, and the babies grow up the following summer. And then they overwinter as immatures. And so those include the wolf spiders, and they're spiders that don't make webs. All of these spiders don't make webs. Instead, they run around, and wolf spiders actually carry the egg sac. The female carries the egg sac behind her on her spinnerets, the silk glands. And so if you ever see a spider running around with a little white ball behind it, that's a wolf spider. Jumping spiders have really good vision, just like we do, and they're active in the daytime, and they pounce on their prey just like a cat or something. And those are also mostly spring mating. And then lastly, there's ghost and sack spiders, and they're also spring mating, but some of them like to come inside. They must like it when it's warm, and they make these little sleeping bags that they hang out in, which is why they're called sack spiders. So if you see a little sleeping bag in between the wall and the ceiling of your house, that spider is just hanging out over the winter, and it will leave as soon as spring comes.
I understand there's some spiders that are actually active in the winter. They're out there hunting insects that live in the few warm areas outside. Is that right?
Yeah, mostly, again, they're going to be hanging out underneath the snow in the space between the ground and the snow. So the space builds up because the ground is still warm and it's radiating heat, and then it causes the ice to sublimate, to turn into a gas. It drifts up and refreezes, and so you get a hollow space down there. And there are actually tiny spiders. These are the ones I mostly study that live and even reproduce during the winter, and they live on little insects that are also around in the winter. There's less predation there, so less competition. So there's a small winter community that actually is hanging out every day during the winter.
Do we ever see these? I mean, if they're down under the snow, would us non-spider-studying folk ever run into them?
You probably would not see those ones. There are some other spiders that people do occasionally see in the wintertime, the ones that are just trying to avoid freezing. And what happens is sometimes if it gets too cold, they will be able to sense that they're about to freeze. And then they make a last-ditch effort to get to some place that's safe. And so you'll see a spider sometimes if you go cross-country skiing or something, just sort of walking around on the snow. Most of the time, those probably don't make it. But the other thing I'll mention is there are some flies in Wisconsin that look just like spiders, except, of course, they have six legs. Mm. They're wingless flies called snow flies, and they actually mate on the snow surface during the winter. So cross-country skiers often tell me about these black spiders they see. Those are actually snow flies.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, you're making me think about some of these insects and spiders in a new way. And, in our house, I guess it's sort of a spider-friendly house. We don't smush the spiders. My husband is the designated escorter of spiders outside when we find them. But, I mean, do they live if you take them out of your house? Or can they get that antifreeze going in time?
Yeah, the bad news is once it gets to be, wintertime and consistently below freezing, exporting a house spider outside is pretty much a death sentence because they really do need this time to build up the anti-freezing compounds, but also because some of those spiders, they don't have any anti-freeze compounds, right? Some of those southern spiders. And so, yeah, you would just be killing them, I suppose. Sorry.
It's an invasive species, though, in a way, if you want to think
about
that.
That's right. It is. And all of those spiders are all non-native. And so, I guess maybe we feel like they're not really, this is not their place.
Rob,
so,
do you smush them?
I do. Uh-huh. Sometimes I don't want to, but there is a lobby of 13-year-olds in my house that wants them to say. So I would need to make them listen to this. I'm sure they're not.
Yeah.
But can you persuade us, Mike, to do, what do you do actually with spiders in your house?
Well, I got to tell you, we do not we don't touch any of the spiders. They all have free reign in our house. And so I've got a very tolerant wife, and we probably have more cobwebs in the basement than some people do. But boy, we do not have any insect problems. I never hire any pest control. So, and we never get bitten, I can tell you that, never.
Interesting. So yeah. You're on board. I mean, I suppose one could you theoretically, Mike, collect the spiders, put them in some kind of terrarium, and then I'm trying to make this work. Yeah. Rob is laughing at me.
I almost did a spit right. Take there, yeah.
Could you collect them, put them in a terrarium, then spring, let them go their happy way?
Yeah, I think that is possible.
Why are you all laughing?
Yeah, you might be able to keep them in a little quarantine, or maybe keep them in the garage where it doesn't get quite as cold.
Ah, the
like
garage.
That, yeah.
That's a good idea.
No, I'm on board with this.
Rob
100%.
Is laughing at the spider terrarium idea.
Oh, you should totally do that.
Right.
That's a good project for the kids.
I'll keep it in the office.
I support that.
Mike, any spiders in Wisconsin that you wish you knew more about? Ones that you'd want to get more research on and figure out what the heck doing?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, my students and I just found a new species of spider, undescribed,
wow.
New to science. And the only place we found it was in the Bay of Green Bay on invasive vegetation. But then we found in a historical collection, we found another one that someone caught in 1975 in the Wolfer River. So I think it's a native species, but we really don't know anything about that species other than it's found in June in Green Bay. So that's one. Yeah, absolutely. We don't even know how many species there are in Wisconsin of spiders to the nearest 100 species. So we know there's 500 species, but there could be 600. Who knows? There could be 700 species. So we don't know very much about most of the species.
Well, Mike, I know you're a scientist, but do you have a favorite spider?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So I study these little tiny spiders called sheet web spiders, and they're pretty endearing because they're too small to bite. They make a little non-sticky horizontal web called a sheet web, and they hang upside down underneath the sheet and attack prey that fall on top of the sheet. And the cool thing about them is the males have these funny-shaped heads. They look like little aliens, and the females are attracted to the head shape of the males of their species. And so that's how they court. And I think they're just fascinating little alien beings.
Oh,
about 2 millimeters long. Yeah.
Well, Mike, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thanks.
That is Mike Draney, professor of biology and chair of the Department of Natural and Applied Sciences at UW-Green Bay. And he joined us to share what happens to spiders in Wisconsin in the wintertime.